Today is the 15th anniversary of the 9/11. Our hearts and prayers go out to the victims and the families and our national leadership. I'm sure you've been doing that. I still remember that day. I was in my office in my previous church. Someone called me and said, "Pastor Choi, have you watched TV?" I said, "I don't watch." And he said, "Go home and watch." And the rest of them, you know quite well. Do you remember how much we were shocked that day with the 3,000 lives perished in a matter of hours in front of our eyes? Remember how senseless and hopeless we felt? Do you remember the following Sunday, almost all churches in America were packed with people, seeking consolation as well as answers? Do you remember how nicely people behaved on the road? I couldn't believe everybody was so kind and patient, you know, yielding to each other. Then over time, it all became a dull memory, and we are back to the business as usual. Today, almost daily, through news media, we are exposed to violence, injustice, and evil. We have become so desensitized that we don't even blink our eyes at a number of victims unless it is huge, such as earthquake in Haiti that took a 250,000 lives. 250,000? Another 250,000 perished due to a tsunami in the Indian Ocean. You see, it becomes more painful and personal when evil and violence strike us close home, doesn't it? Tragedy becomes more real when we go through it ourselves. I remember hearing one story of a young family. And they were vacationing in Turkey, mother and her five children, along with her two adult in-laws. In a matter of seconds, an earthquake struck the city where they were walking on and swallowed up four of the five children, aged 9 years all the way down to 6 months, along with her in-laws. The mother returned home to America with six coffins beside her. How do you explain this? Anyone willing to try it? In moments like that, we often raise a question, why? Where is God? It was John Dryden, English, you know, the writer, hundreds of years ago, who said, I quote, "Virtue in distress and vice in triumph make atheists of mankind. Virtue in distress and vice in triumph make atheists of mankind." How true it is. You see, when things don't make sense, some people turn into atheists, raising a question like this: how can all-powerful and all-loving God allow so much evil, suffering, and pain? Let's ponder the question one more time. How can all-powerful and all-loving God allow so much evil, suffering, and pain? If we think through, we will know the nature of the question and what the question is all about. Ravi Zacharias, international evangelist as well as apologist, explains quite well as follows. I'm just, you know, quoting what he said. When you say there is such a thing as evil, you are assuming that there is such a thing as good. When you're assuming that there is such a thing as good, are you not assuming there is such a thing as a moral law, on the basis of which you differentiate between good and evil? So when there is evil, there is good, and there is a moral law, aren't you assuming that there is a moral lawgiver? If there is no moral lawgiver, and there is no moral law, if there is no moral law, there is no good and evil. And what's your question? Do you get it? Am I going too fast? He continues, when you raise the question of why, you raise the question of moral ramifications. You cannot raise moral ramifications unless this is a moral universe. This is not a moral universe unless there is a moral lawgiver. Unless God himself exists, the question itself self-destructs. Do you get it now? Think through. It takes time. The bottom line is this. We cannot use the question of why on evil to deny God's existence. If there is evil, there must be good. If there is evil and good, there must be moral law. If there is moral law, there must be the giver of the moral law, which is God. So by raising the question of why on the evil, you cannot simply say there is no God. That's his point. Rather, in the midst of evil and violence, we must affirm God exists. And we must start searching for the answer in God and through God, not outside God. Instead of running away from God, therefore, we must run toward him. Why? Because God is the only one who can give us an answer, courage and strength to cope with evil and even overcome it. Let me say it again. When you and I are overwhelmed with violence and injustice and evil in our society, we tend to raise the question of why. However, we must not stay on the question of why. We must move beyond from why to who. Because no one but God can give the right answer. The task of explaining why so much evil, I humbly leave to God. Leave it to God. However, at least I invite you this morning to pay attention and take heed to God's word, where God answers such a tough question. And that's exactly what Jesus did 2,000 years ago in Israel in today's text. When you go home today, read today's text one more time. Listen to what Jesus says. This is what happened 2,000 years ago. One day people came to Jesus, their rabbi, their teacher. They brought a tough question to Jesus. They said, Rabbi, did you hear what the Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor at the time, occupying Israel? What he did is that he did commit an abominable and unthinkable offense against God and against people. What did he do? He mixed the blood of Galileans, human blood, with the animal sacrifice. Horrible in the eyes of the Jewish folks. Abominable in the sight of God, for sure. You see, over the years, being a pastor, I learned some kind of idea. When people bring a question to you, generally, I'm not saying every time, generally they have their own answer in their mind. Have you noticed that before? So these folks brought the question to Jesus, and they had their own idea, what their master, their teacher would say to them. The audience must have expected Jesus saying, yes, folks, let me tell you, this guy Pilate is going straight to hell because of what he has done. Yes, it's time, don't you think, folks, for us to organize our own resistance and kick out those unlawful Romans forever from our land? That kind of answers they're expecting to hear. To their great surprise, however, none of the above came forth from the mouth of Jesus. He rather says, don't you think that the victims were greater sinners than you are? Don't think that bad things happened to them because they were worse sinners than you are. Don't think that you were spared because you're better than the victims. Wait a minute. What is he telling us? We're talking about evil in our society, and he's talking about, look at you. Deep inside of Jesus' comment, and we see and we find the message from God about violence, injustice, and evil. What's the message from God? Look within before you look out. Jesus points out the reality of evil and injustice and violence as this. Before they happen outside, they are already happening in your own heart first. Therefore, he continues, Jesus says, whenever evil and injustice surround you, pause and look at the violence and evil and injustice in your own heart and repent. That's where God wants to begin with us. I'm sure you heard of the name Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Russian writer and thinker and philosopher, great thinker. Did you know that he was in prison for years for his criticism of the communism in the former Soviet Union? Years. He was himself the victim of the gulag. Can you imagine how angry he was over the years, angry with the Soviet regime, angry with the Marxist ideology, angry with the Lenin's and Stalin's doctrines imposed upon innocent people, cost millions of lives. How angry he was. And suddenly one day this brilliant mind came upon the truth. Then he wrote down these words, I quote, "The thin line between good and evil does not run through ideologies. It does not run through states, governments, or philosophies. The thin line between good and bad runs through the heart of every man and every woman." He said, therefore, "So bless you, prison, for revealing this to me." What he's saying is that I thought those bad guys out there, evildoers and violence and all these guys, do away with them, punish them. He's been crying out for years until one day he looked within himself, oh, right away, I'm as bad as they are. That was the great discovery he made after years of suffering. May I tell you, Solzhenitsyn himself perfectly understood then, that day, what Jesus is saying. Look within. Do you understand what Christ is saying here in today's text? Do you realize evil, injustice, and violence indeed run through your own heart as much as outside? I do, for one. Then we are one step closer to Jesus, who says to us this time, then if you realize, then repent. Otherwise you too shall perish like they did. Here's the application. Before we condemn all the violence and evil in the world, we must look within ourselves and repent of our own evil, injustice, and violence. Of course, Jesus is not saying here that we should never do anything about society's evil and injustice and violence. We should do something about it. Neither is he apathetic about what happens to the victims and their families. No, Christ is so compassionate. That's besides the point. Rather, this is what Christ is saying to us. If you're really serious about evil and injustice in the world, and if you really want to transform the world, then let me tell you where to begin. Look within and begin with yourself, with repentance, and with the right relationship with God. Look within before you look out. As for closing, I will say this. A recent survey was done asking people in America if they feel safer than the pre-9/11. The answer is definitely no. Wait a minute. After the 9/11, have we not done away with so many hundreds and even thousands of terrorists all over the world? Imprisoned them and killed them, bombed them? Have we not even implemented so many other things, including close surveillance on the citizens of America? Folks, there is no secret anymore. You and I, our lives, all exposed, somewhere recorded, somewhere. Yet, we still feel more vulnerable than before. We have more paranoia than before. We have become super sensitive to evil, injustice, and violence than before. My question and outcry, what else can we do now? Let me tell you one thing we can do: to give heed to God's word. In the Bible, God says, and he commands, look up and look within in times of violence and evil. Look up to God for his wisdom, guidance, and comfort and strength. God promises to be with us in our trouble. Look also within yourself to repent of your own sins. That's God's message for us today. I believe in my heart that when everyone does that, when everyone does it, and we are truly connected and reconnected to God through our humility and repentance, then we and our society have hope. We'll be truly free and safe from violence and injustice and evil. Until that day, let's not give up or give in. Let's bow our hearts and pray. Yes, Lord, I think it's human nature to look at others first before we look within. That's why Christ corrected the people, the audience, when they want to hear something about Jesus's condemning all the evil and injustice and violence in the world. He simply and as a matter of factly said, folks, look within and repent. Make sure that you have right relationship with God first. Then work out outside. That message is still poignant and important to us today, Lord. We lift up all these people, all the nations, all the races in the world to your attention. Speak to their hearts, Lord, and calling them back to you, Lord. My children, come back to me and walk with me humbly. And then you will have true security, true peace, free of evil and injustice and violence. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.